Saturday is the fall equinox, and we'll be at the beach at our usual time and place on Siesta Key. So I'm going to play you another Zen story from 101 Zen Stories from Audible, available on Audible. Before I do, I just want to kind of set the stage. There's a lot of, as soon as we label something as this or that, our discrimination falls in and we start to judge it as good or bad, right, wrong. And as soon as we do that, we are no longer seeing things for what they are. Now we're in that place that we call delusion, deluded thinking, deluded view. Different way of expressing. It's like music. You know, we like certain songs, we don't like other songs. We like certain tones and not other tones. We like certain colors and not other colors. We like the night, we like the day, we like corn, we like beef, we like this or that. And we like it served up a certain way. And if it's not served up the way we want it, we take issue with it. This is what we do. Constantly discriminating, making decisions based on this false view of how things are. When I hit this and I say, already you see, already you hear, I'm of course referring to before I. It's that I, me, mine. I had dinner with friends the other night that I have so much trouble with my good friend. He's a good friend and I love him dearly, but his first take on things is always judgmental. If we go to a restaurant, is it a good enough restaurant? Is the food authentic Indian food or not? You know, these sort of things. It's sort of that's where he goes first. How does Zen break through that? So now I'm going to play you this story.
Ayapoka Zen. Hakuin used to tell his pupils about an old woman who had a tea shop, praising her understanding of Zen. The pupils refused to believe what he told them and would go to the tea shop to find out for themselves. Whenever the woman saw them coming, she could tell at once whether they had come for tea or to look into her grasp of Zen. In the former case, she would serve them graciously. In the latter, she would beckon the pupils to come behind her screen. The instant they obeyed, she would strike them with a fire poker. 9 out of 10 of them could not escape her beating.
Fire poker Zen. And it raises some interesting questions. What about the one that got away? 9 out of 10 got the fire poker. What about the one that didn't? How would you resolve this? How would you go? Do you think you know why the one got away? No?
I think the one that gets away is because he's curious. He's curious with an openness.
Yes.
And the other 9 are challenging.
Coming from discriminating mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not from curious, open mind, clear like space, beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the story is predicated on these individuals going into this tea house to see what kind of knowledge she had.
Yeah, to see, you know, to Zen Master says she has a great mastery of Zen. She has a great understanding of Zen.
So
they don't believe it.
Well, yeah. So they don't believe it. And they're using their own tool chest.
Yes.
Going into their tool chest and pulling all our tools out and, you know, seeing if she's corrupt. They're already predetermined in a way.
Well, they're stuck in duality. There's no difference. Difference is just in our minds.
And is she stuck in duality by hitting them with the poker?
I don't think so. I think it's right action.
It harkens back to that story I told about peaceful warrior, the teacher who knocks Daniel off the bridge into the water.
Yeah.
And asking him, so what was going through your mind as you were falling towards the water?
They didn't believe him. They had to go see for themselves. What is it they had to see for themselves? We say form is emptiness and emptiness is form, but that's meaningless when you think form has meaning or emptiness has meaning. And how did she know the difference? How did she know that this person was coming to check out her knowledge of Zen or just coming for a cup of tea?
That's probably pretty easy.
That's right. It is really easy, but we don't think it is when we're the ones who are poking around and making the judgments. We think it's unseen, but it isn't unseen. Everybody sees it. You carry your attitudes right there. Your face, your body, everything is showing exactly who you are all the time. Now, the only person that can't see that is someone who's doing the same thing, projecting their own shit, right? So as long as we're all doing that with each other, it's just the facade, a game, a play. I love this story. It's another good one, Fire Poker Zen.
Very brief story. Leaves a lot to the imagination.
It does, doesn't it? Interesting thing for me too is, what's your first reaction? Anyone have the thought, what did she do? I mean, that would never work today. You can't go around beating people with a fire poker. You know, it's just a story.
It's just like the stories you hear about people getting hit if they started to nod off during sitting.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't work so well.
It wouldn't be politically correct.
I mean, one of the challenges that I've always had with Zen is I feel like it's culturally very Asian, and I'm culturally very American, and there are a lot of differences. You know, not to mention the time frame. So, for example, when you were telling the story, my imagination went to, they didn't believe that she was so knowledgeable about Zen because she's female. So in my mind, everybody who came that she poked with the poker was male. And that was part, you know, that was part of her toughness.
Uh-huh.
She had to be tough to survive in that male dominated world.
I see.
She had to prove herself in a stronger way than a man would.
Very good. I see how your mind works. And it's not wrong. You know, I mean, we use discrimination for a reason. It has a purpose. You know, just letting it go, having a cup of tea. Buddha taught that we're neither male nor female. In other words, who are we? Are we a body? Are we? I mean, yes, we are. But are we more than that? Where's our mind? Is our mind male or female? It is and it isn't. It is and it isn't. Both are right. You can't, but if you're only stuck in one of those places, it is or it is not.
I mean,
it's not the whole picture. But even now, the over-identification with your sexuality creates problems.
In practice, though, like the Vipassana retreats I've been on, the men sit on one side, the women sit on another side. So if you walk in, you know, to the meditation hall, and that's the first thing or one of the first things that you notice. I mean, I did a retreat with Thich Nhat Hanh that had monks and nuns. The monks and the nuns did not have the same duties and were not treated the same. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, there's...
But in this tea house you're sitting in right now, we don't discriminate.
You're in the Zendo, I don't feel that. Definitely not, but...
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying, of course. It is valid, of course. But again, to me, that just describes the issue. The same one she's talking about, the poker. I love that she's got the poker and takes it behind the screen. What? The interesting thing about the image of an old lady, too, is it's a grandmotherly image, right? So you can't really be hostile towards that, because that's like being hostile to your grandmother, you know? So there's like already it's a setup, you know, where if it was, you know, if you were young male and there was a young woman that did it to you, you might have a totally different reaction, you see.
I haven't thought of it as, you know, tea is very nurturing.
Yes.
Yes. Very comforting.
Yes. And non-judgmental. It has nothing to say. Just taste the tea. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that I'm getting the point across. And this story, I think, is helpful to get the point across. I think our sitting practice and all that encourages us to be honest, and we recognize the value of it. But we, you know, if we fall into our sort of karmic ordinariness for whatever reason, we've some trigger, you know, or something gets us. Sometimes we have to go through that before we can see it. You know, we have to go through being messy in order to see that we're being messy. And I think the fire poker is a great example of stopping the messing. You know, it's like, bam. Oh. What do I have to learn here? But life is like that. I mean, I get poked by a fire poker all the time, which is interesting. Another thing that came up for me tonight, and I'll stop after this, is that sitting and getting into the place of suchness dissolves all that karmic stuff that I cling to. So in the moment, it's not real to me. And this is such an interesting, because when you're caught up in your karmic bullshit, for whatever, I don't know what other thing to call it, you know, your grasping nature. It's like what the sixth patriarch said, you know, reuning about seeing your original nature. When you see it, it's right there. It's at the tip of your nose. It's right in front of you. But when you don't see it, it's miles away. You know, so it's like that. When you're really caught up in your stuff, it's miles away. And then as soon as you sit down, oh, it was there all the time. And this is where I really live. Isn't it interesting that when you're really in your place, suchness, place of your nature. It's so clear. You know, we talk about it in so many different ways, but when you're experiencing it, when it's a reality, what can you say? Just, you know, you have your cup of tea. So I would just like to remind you that I suggest you sit like your hair's on fire. That way the old lady won't have to come over and poke you. Anyway, I'm sorry I talked so much tonight, but I enjoyed that story. It's good. Thank you for joining me.